pledge, give us your name and address and your phone number, and that's all that has to be done, and we'll take care of things from there.
For those
586-8787, David.
Well, for those of you who are fans of Ken Coleman and John Miller, a special treat coming up a little bit later on this afternoon is Ken will be back here, and John will be joining him, and all of the camaraderie between those two that you enjoy on Red Sox baseball broadcasts will be yours here at the Hall. So if you'd like to meet John and Ken, stop on by to the third annual Jimmy Fund Radiothon on WHMP and WHAI. It's about 24 after 3 right now, and once again, the numbers to call, 586-8787, 586-8787, the number to call here in the greater Northampton area, and that includes all the towns in Hampshire County and down in Hamden County, too, because this radiothon is covering for them.
Don, I know that you've been involved with the Jimmy Fund for a number of years. How actually did you get started, or what piqued your interest in the Jimmy Fund?
Well, I guess it was Frank Hart that really got my interest into the situation.
He's the late Amherst police chief, for those who may not know.
And Frank reminded me that the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police were one of the founding groups of the Jimmy Fund, and he introduced me as a young patrolman to a fellow by the name of Hector Pelletier, who was Mr. Police Chief in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And Hector Pelletier was the individual who really got the Massachusetts Chiefs involved with the Variety Club of New England and with the Boston Braves when they founded the Jimmy Fund. And it has been the charity of the Massachusetts Chiefs for years. Hector Pelletier was the individual who went in to visit the boy that has subsequently been named Jimmy, and for who the Jimmy Fund has been named after. And in talking with the young man became very aware of the chief in his uniform, and subsequently Hector Pelletier took his badge off of his shirt and gave it to the boy, and the boy treasured that badge. And presently, at the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute, there is a hall of badges with every chief's badge in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. So you see, the chiefs and law enforcement have been very closely tied with the Jimmy Fund for years. That's more or less where I got into it.
Okay, on the telephone line with us right now, and calling again, we heard from this gentleman earlier on. He's the director of research at the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, Dr. David Kiskus. Dr. Kiskus, okay. Doctor, can you hear us?
Hello, Doctor?
Yep.
Yes.
Hello, Doctor.
Hi, how are you?
This is Don Meyer. We're here at your mall, and with me is Joe Finnessy from WHMP and Dave Madsen. And, Doctor, we understand that you had conversation here earlier with Ken Coleman, and we'd just like to bring up that conversation, or I understand you have something you'd like to add.
Oh, well, before when I had a chance to talk to Ken with respect to the Jimmy Fund, I was able to talk just for a minute about the modern techniques of genetic engineering and how we're applying those techniques right now to both studies agents that cause cancer and agents that can be used to treat cancer. I think that's an example of how when we gain knowledge on how cancer develops, we can turn that information around and apply it to our benefit. What I didn't have a chance to mention, and perhaps Steve Salen, one of my colleagues, has had a chance to discuss with you, is that another example which is particularly exciting right now, and that is that there's a form of cancer called myeloma, where the tumor results from an uncontrolled growth of one of the cells of the body's own defense system. And in collaborative efforts between our basic scientists and our physicians at the Farber, we've used this kind of tumor grown in the laboratory in an artificial medium to make what we call monoclonal antibodies. And these antibodies are being used right now to better diagnose a number of cancer, lymphomas, and leukemias, and are also being used in combination with radiotherapy and chemotherapy to treat those kinds of cancers. And while these studies are in early stages in terms of their clinical application, they're ones that are very exciting right now and hold a lot of promise. And I just wanted to mention that because I think that in taking a look at the research of the Farber, that's one of the things that we think holds the most hope for the immediate future.
Well, the work that you people have been doing down at the Farber Institute has been fantastic over the years. And we realize that there are a number of people here from Western Mass who are treated there almost on a daily basis.
That's I think a lot of people don't realize is that The Farber, as a comprehensive cancer center, is involved really in a number of things. And one of those is our outreach programs. We're not a cancer center for Boston. We're a cancer center really for the whole New England area, and our patients come from that wide area. And besides just having people come into the Farber, we feel we have a very important role in taking the technology that's developed in our laboratories and clinics and exporting that to the other hospitals in the area, as well as doing a lot of training of physicians and nurses and technicians and all that go outside the Farber into the community hospitals and are able to bring an upgrade in the kind of care we can deliver at almost any facility.
Ken Coleman has advised me, I know last year mentioned it very strongly, the work that your people have been doing with leukemia and the progress that you've made in cancer in that regard. Would you like to comment on that, Doctor?
I think that's probably one of the better examples. We all like to point to our successes, but leukemia is primarily a disease of childhood. There are some adult leukemias, but most of the kinds of leukemia that happen in children generally that are under the age of about 12. And in fact, by some changes in chemotherapy, what we've done is we've learned, for example, that there are a number of causes that make it difficult to treat those cancers, and some of those involve the fact that some of the cancer cells become resistant to one of the drugs that we're giving, much the same way a bacterium can become resistant to an antibiotic. And so by combining different drugs and using those, a tumor cell that might be resistant to one is killed by another. So that's one of the things that has been, I think, advanced. And the second one is we've realized that there are sanctuaries in the body where some of the drugs that we deliver in chemotherapy just really don't reach in the kind of amounts that we'd like to. And by combining chemotherapy with other forms of therapy, such as radiotherapy, and actually trying to modulate the body's own defense systems, we're getting a much better handle on that. And the prognosis for someone right now who develops cancer is much brighter than it was for someone who was diagnosed, let's say, 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, Doctor, this is Joe Fennessy, and I was going to ask you to comment on that particular subject, that a person who is stricken with cancer, it is not an automatic death sentence, that people are not only being, their lives are not only being maintained, but cancers are being cured. Isn't that so?
Yeah, that's true. There are some cancers that are still difficult problems for us. Unfortunately, one of those is lung cancer, which happens to be a cancer that has a fairly high incidence. But generally, our physician in chief and director, Dr. Tom Fry, has indicated from his experience over a period of some 20 years or so that at one time there were patients to the hospital, and when they were given a certain diagnosis, that was really kind of the bottom line. You really couldn't offer that patient much hope. And now, in fact, the situation has turned around an awful lot. And for most of the cancers that we see today and treat today, the chances of a continued life and a life of high quality are really very, very good. In the major cancer sites in man, there's been really significant improvement in all of them over the past 10 years. If you compare patients who were diagnosed, let's say, in 1960 to patients who were first diagnosed in 1970, that latter group has a significantly higher 5-year survival rate. 5-year survival rate is just kind of a follow-up term. We have it's not that we aim for 5-year survival, it's just that we feel that if we wait 5 years in terms of seeing what the status of a patient is, that we can make a pretty good judgment as to what's going to happen then in the remaining years of that individual's life. So generally, if a patient is put in remission and his cancer goes away for 5 years or so, he's really in pretty good shape. So that basis upon which we follow our results.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. From we out here in Western Massachusetts, we would like to thank you and your cohorts down at the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute for the work that you've done. And we hope that the people here, as they have in the past, will continue to make their contributions to the Jimmy Fund, which is the fundraising arm of the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute.
I think we have all the people across the state, including those in Western Massachusetts, for the contributions that they've made to the Jimmy Fund. In fact, that's a It's a very important source of funds that enables us to keep our research programs and our clinical programs going, and it certainly is responsible in large part for the successes that we've had.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. It's been nice hearing from you. And now, Dave, I think if we gave those numbers out again, we might be able to raise some more money.
I think so, and we have something that we can also add on to this a little bit later on. I think we're tallying it up right now. Our friends have come back from Mount Tom, and with a very sizable contribution, and it's going to be music to the ears of many, many people when they hear that amount. But the music to our ears here at the Hampshire Mall, where the Bank of Telephones is located, is 586-8787, the number 586-87, and from Greenfield, the number is 774-4301. And, Don, I think you ought to have the pleasure of giving the amount of that check from Mount Tom.
Well, I'd like Jim Sadowski to come forward here, if he would, for just 1 second, because Jim is the individual, you know, from the Western Mass Council of the Jimmy Fund that is the key person in that Mount Tom thing here, and I'd like Jim to make the announcement of the contribution from Mount Tom.
Well, Don, thanks to Dave Moore and Jimmy Joe O'Connell and a number of the people up at Mount Tom, we were able to raise $1,800 as a minimum. We have sort of a signed check here, a bogus check for $1,800.
That check is good.
That's good. Let me put some money in my account before you cash it. But we would like to thank the people at Mount Tom. They did a super job, and certainly the weather helped out. And they wish all the best to the Jimmy Fund. And, of course, they're going to have one next year as well.
And, Jim, your challenge of $500 to other distribution companies is still outstanding, so you may want to reiterate that challenge.
Okay, anybody out there, any of our fellow distributors who would like to meet our challenge of $500, we'd certainly welcome it.
There's plenty out there that that could meet that challenge. We just want to tell you that the pledge on the wall stands at $400 right now. That's the piece of the left field wall. That's from the Michael F. Curtin Post VFW. Now, there's plenty of other posts out there who have plenty of money who can top that $400 pledge. So let's get the phones ringing and see if you can do that. 586-8787, the number to call here at the Jimmy Fund Radiothon, live from the Hampshire Mall on Route 9 in Hadley. And this continues until 7 o'clock tonight. And our tote with that $1,800 added to it, now $7,082. That looks real good.
It's coming up there. It's getting to where we would hope it would be at this time of the day. But we've got until 7 o'clock tonight to reach a figure that we would like to reach. And we're not going to say what that is. We just want to see what you great people out here in Western Mass will do for the Jimmy Fund and for the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute. Don't forget now, the number is 586-8787, 586-8787, and in Greenfield, 774-4301. We've got some more contributions here from some familiar names. Zig Mashinsky of 78 River Drive in Hadley. Thank you very much, Zig. From Donald Wakaluk of 16 North Maple Street in Florence. Very nice contribution, Donald. Thank you very much. That's in memory of Matt Wakaluk. Attorney Tom Simons is our district attorney from Taylor Hill Road in Montague. Thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate it. John Meehan of Haydenville Road in Leeds, Mass. A very nice contribution, John. Thank you very much. And also from Jim Coopy. Jim Coopy of 104 North Main Street in Sunderland. Jim, thank you very much. And from Gertrude Willman of 1 Conn Street, Box 188 in Northampton, in memory of Joe McCarthy. Thank you very much, Mrs. Willman.
Okay, Don, and Greg Adams is with us right now. And, Greg, I think you have somebody else on the phone, so let's hear from you now. Greg?
Oh, okay, that's very right, Dave. On the phone with me right now is Paul Walker. Paul, you there?
Yes, I am, Greg.
Paul, I understand that you've got a development over there in the international dart tournament that's going to come to our attention, and I'd like you to put the news across yourself.
All right, fine. I have with me Glenn Remick, the president of the Western Mass Darting Association, and we have about 60 darters here. Of course, tomorrow we expect a big crowd, and Glenn just came to me a few minutes ago, and we talked about it. I'll let him tell you what they're going to do in the next few minutes for the benefit of the Jimmy Fund. Here, Glenn, please. Hello.
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Yourself?
Not too bad. This is Greg Adams. Along with me is Don Maya here at the Jimmy Fund Radiothon and Dave Matson from Channel 22. Paul tells me that you've got a little something going over at the Hotel Northampton, if I'm right.
That's right. We're breaking down, getting almost in between matches here. So what we'd like to do is take one of our dartboards and open it up to anyone who'd like to come up and shoot some bullseyes for the Jimmy Fund.
Well, that's very good. I appreciate it. As a matter of fact, to fill people in a little bit more, we've got Charlie Pellet and the WHMP mobile unit heading over in your direction. We've dispatched the mobile unit to help out.
Well, that's terrific. What we plan on doing, Greg, is to charge 50 cents, and that's all proceeds go to the Jimmy Fund, and the person who hits the most bullseyes out of 12 darts will receive a Winter Festival T-shirt, compliments of the Chamber of Commerce.
Well, that's terrific, and as I say, we appreciate it, and I hope you'll be checking back with Charlie Pellet or one of the people here at the Radiothon and tell us how everything turned out.
All right, we'll do that, and thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we'll be looking for more from you a little later on.
Okay, we'll check back with you.
Okay, bye now.
Goodbye.
Okay, Greg, that sounds good. A dart challenge down at the Hotel Northampton. The number to call here to make your pledge to the Jimmy Fund is 586-8787. 586-8787. Coming up within the hour, Ken Coleman will return, and his broadcasting partner for the Red Sox games, Mr. John Miller, will also be by with his cast of thousands, I guess you could say, Don.
Yes, a cast of thousands, and a lot of entertainment, I think, for the group and for the listening audience. And if you happen to be on Route 9 in the Hadley area, just take a ride by the Hampshire Mall. We're located right in from the main mall entrance, just straight ahead, and Ken Coleman will be here, and you will enjoy his special guest relative to the voices he brings on the air in the Jimmy Fund. Don't forget the number, though. It's 586-8787 and 774-4301. Keep those phones ringing. Keep the contributions coming for the Jimmy Fund.
Peter?
And at that number, 586-8787, we have Julie Clifford. She's on the phone. And next to her, we have Ginny Musanti from Channel 22 in Springfield. Give Ginny a call. Make that pledge. With us now is Goggins, the Jimmy Fund director. Don, I'm going to hand him over to you.
Okay, maybe the two of us can handle them. Tim, nice to have you back in the area. And Tim has been the director of the Jimmy Fund now for, what, about 3 weeks?
About 3 weeks. Real veteran.
He will be before long, though, Dave. I can guarantee you that because he's an individual with a lot of intestinal fortitude. We knew over the years when he was with Silvio Carti for years.
Yeah, I don't know if you're telling me I had a lot of guts to work for him, but he's a good guy, Don, and I enjoyed being with him a number of times. It's the wonderful golf tournament that you have at Hickory Ridge every year for the Jimmy Fund, which brings in a lot of money.
Well, he's always been a very staunch supporter of the Jimmy Fund and of other causes, but it's really a pleasure to have you with us at the Jimmy Fund headquarters as the administrative director.
Well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to working with you and the other police chiefs who are so kind to give of their time and effort. And I love to hear that those phones keep ringing. And the phone numbers, by the way, if anyone wants to call and make a pledge, are 586-8787. And in the Greenfield area, 774-4301. And I do look forward to working with you. And if I have a minute here, I have a story of Ken Coleman was speaking earlier today of the people from throughout the area who helped the Jimmy Fund. There's another local person here, and this has gone, I think, unnoticed to some extent in the Northampton area. A friend of mine by the name of Frank Giroux, who is one of the people who started the Ronald McDonald House. Frank is now the chairman of, I believe, the board of the Ronald McDonald House in Boston. And unfortunately, Frank had a young son, Frankie Jr., who died of cancer, but was treated at the Sydney Farber. And Frank got so involved in it that he started raising money, and now there is a Ronald McDonald House. And in fact, that concept has been copied throughout the United States. That's a home where parents can take their children to live with them if they're on or in need of outpatient treatment. And it's a wonderful facility, and I'd like the people in the Northampton area to recognize that there's a lot of people doing a lot of things to help kids who have cancer in a lot of different ways.
You know, that's one of the main things that I hear from people who have children involved in cancer is the arrangements that the Jimmy Fund and the Ronald McDonald House, you know, takes, and the efforts that they do to assist the family in a, so they can maintain a family-type structure, even though they're an outpatient, you know, a treatment thing away from home.
The people at the Institute themselves, Don, you're absolutely right. It's amazing. I've only been there for 3 weeks, and I'm an employee, but there's a family kind of an atmosphere in that facility, and they do make everyone feel at home as much as possible. And through the amenities of something like the Ronald McDonald House, as well as the excellent staff that is down there, those things are possible. And I'm proud to be associated with not only the Jimmy Fund, but an institute that is of such a caliber as Sidney Farber Cancer Institute.
Tim, if you could, as director of the Jimmy Fund, what exactly do your duties entail down there?
Well, I'll basically be planning and organizing the promotional and fundraising aspects of the Jimmy Fund throughout New England in coordination with the development efforts that are occurring at the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute. Planning ahead for the future years to ensure that the people of New England are aware of the facility, aware of the work of the Jimmy Fund, and have it straight in their mind, because, you know, a lot of people do recognize what the Jimmy Fund is because it's been a historical and one of the most publicized charities in New England, but they don't realize that it is associated directly with the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute, and as Dr. Kiska said earlier, that institute is one of only 21 in the United States to provide research and care for cancer patients. And so it truly is a regional facility we're helping people from all over this region, and we want to try and get that message out, and we'd like to have as many people in the region help as possible.
I think, too, these radio thons this year, I think, are probably more important than in years past. If we remember back to the baseball strike, of course, the Red Sox and the Red Sox broadcasts and promotion of the Jimmy Fund are a vital part of your promotional work as far as raising funds are concerned. And with the baseball strike this year, I would think that probably did hurt a little bit. So I would think it's important this year that the goals that were set in years past are surpassed this year to make up for that.
Well, you are right. In a sense, we are so pleased and so thankful to have the assistance of the Red Sox, as well as so many people. But the Red Sox have been an anchor for us in terms of publicity. These radiothons are very important. And if I do say myself, being from Northampton, this happens to be, for the size of the area that we're talking about, one of our more successful and larger events. And I do think that it has a direct relationship to the quality of the radio station here, WHMP, and to the wonderful efforts of Don Maya and the people who are involved from our Western Massachusetts Council. It's a tremendous effort. It really is, and it is about twice as large as a normal radiothon for an area that the size of the Northampton area, and we're quite pleased and proud of it, and I'm particularly proud because I'm from the area.
Well, Tim, you know, the work really isn't done by people, but it's done by, you know, groups of people. And the real ones that make the radiothon here in Northampton and have over 3 years are you people out in the listening audience. It's your money, it's your contributions, it's your heart which makes the Jimmy Fund a very active part of the Sidney Farber Cancer Institute. So if you'd use this phone number and just give it a call, make your pledge, 586-8787, or in Greenfield, 774-4301. The Jimmy Fund needs what you want to give, whether it be the dollar or the $2 or the $5 or the $50. Just the contribution, you put your heart and give us a call at 586-8787 or 774-4301. You know, Tim, it's a large undertaking that you're taking, and I was wondering if you had any specific plans. I know you've only been there a very short period of time. Of maybe bringing the Jimmy Fund maybe even closer to the outlying reaches of Western Mass or in the Vermont areas or the Maine areas and other areas other than radiothons. Are there any thoughts in expanding that type of venture?
Yeah, Don, we're trying to get a setup, a volunteer setup, stronger volunteer setup throughout the region. In the more rural areas, I really find it hard to believe or think of Northampton as being a rural area, but certainly in the Vermont, northern New Hampshire area, and Maine. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be going up to Maine within the next 10 days to try and establish a group from the state of Maine in Bangor, Augusta, and Portland to coordinate our efforts for us up there.
Well, if Jack Dennison was here, I'm sure he'd give you as much of a plug as he could there with his down, east. His down east. He does pretty good at that.
Yeah. Anyhow, the other thing that you mentioned about the radiothons, and I think that this would be interesting for the people out there who would be listening, in terms of the Jimmy Fund, and one of the reasons why this particular concept and the help that we get from HMP is so important, is that it is no cost. There is no cost. The Jimmy Fund is very proud about the fact that less than 10 cents on the dollar that it's contributed goes to overhead, and more than 90 cents on your dollar goes to patient care, treatment, and research. And this is one of the efforts, this radiothon that is no cost to the Jimmy Fund at all, that makes that possible. And we are very, very grateful for the help and the assistance of radio station WHMP to allow us to cut our overhead costs in this manner.
Well, you know, it's something which is really, really keyed. You know, my special feeling about the Jimmy Fund is that the vast majority of the money donated does, in fact, you know, go to the Jimmy Fund, because you have a very small staff down at the Jimmy Fund headquarters, yourself and a couple of clerical people, and Ken. I mean, it's a very small staff, which is the fundraising group. So there are no office expenses which really take away from the money, you know, for cancer in children.
No, we try to keep that to an absolute minimum, and I've been in nonprofit work for some time now. I used to work for the government. I don't know if that's nonprofit or not, but
these days, yeah.
Anyway, being a nonprofit, I do recognize the fact that it's an excellent record that the Jimmy Fund has on cost, and we want to keep it that way.
Don, you have some more pledges there?
Yes, and the phones, but they're not ringing right now, so let's get them going. It's 586-8787. We're in Greenfield. If you're listening to WHAI there, it's 774-4301. From the East Hampton Postal Employees, care of Bob Schwartz, 19 Union Street in East Hampton. A very nice contribution, fellas. Thank you very much. And from Mr. and Mrs. Francis Lyman, Jr. of 75 Mechanic Street in Amherst, in memory of Mrs. Sadie Johnson. Thank you very much for your contributions, Frank. From Mrs. Boucher, 34 East Green Street in East Hampton, in memory of Ralph Boucher. Thank you very much, Mrs. Boucher. Every penny is well worthwhile, and thank you very much for your contribution.
And, Don, I've got a few to list off. Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Parent of Acrebrook Drive in Florence, we thank them for their contribution. Joyce Rankin of Main Street, a very generous contribution today. And Helen Griffin of Rick Drive in Florence, also contributing to this Jimmy Fund Radiothon. And once again, we'd like to remind you that the number to call, 586-8787, 586-8787, and 774-4301 if you want to make a pledge up from the Greenfield area. And we want to hear from you folks in Hampshire County and Hamden County, wherever the radio signal of WHMP gets out. We want you to pick up your telephone and give us a call and help us raise that total on our Jimmy-thon tally board, which now stands just over $7,000.
And it's doing well and getting there. And there's one thing I've noticed relative to many of the contributions coming in lately is people are making their pledges in memory of a dear one or in honor of a friend or an acquaintance or whatever. And this may be the time, maybe it slipped your mind when the time was passed and you want to make a contribution in memory of someone, and this may be just the time and the perfect occasion to do that.
Okay, Don, right now I have someone on the telephone who is going to make a little pledge to us. Earlier today, we had a challenge made by Kenny Beretska, and Kenny challenged, I think it was a $10 challenge. We'll double-check on that. But on the phone right now is an old friend, Mr. Ed Barker, and Ed is a security guard from the Cooley Dickinson Hospital. How you doing, Ed?